Of Wizards and Warriors by Samuel Bowman. Chapter 1. Once upon a time, a long ago, in a faraway land, was a country called Enyu. In this country were people just like in any other country. Some were hardworking, others were lazy. Some were honest, others dishonest. Some were righteous, others were wicked. People had no king, but instead were governed by local lords, one over each city or town. Some were good and kind, others were terrible tyrants. Now in the land of Inyur, there's a certain town named Fruitful Orchard. The reason for the name was at once obvious to those who visit. The town was surrounded by many productive orchards. The town was known far and wide for its peaches, apples, pears and figs. It was also the place where herbs of wondrous healing virtues were grown. In this town dwelt the greatest healers, and thither journeyed those who wished to study medicine. In this town lived a certain young man, some 5 and 10 years of age, by name a Stout. Is a handsome young man, short, but not too short, kind-hearted, brave, full of laughter and fun. His father was the captain of the town guard. His mother was the best-known healer. Now Stout had a friend, a year or two younger, named Sally, with whom he spent most of his time. Her father owned a large pear and apple orchard. Her mother was the best cook in the whole town. Sally was cheerful as a sunbeam, light and dainty, and a fairy princess, and yet she was quite a tough girl who did not cry easily. One bright summer, late summer day, Stout and Sally were sitting happily under an apple tree. They had eaten apples till they were full and felt quite comfortable. Stout was looking off through the orchard. A looming shadow of the woods of doom and grew round 3 sides of the town. Why do you suppose they call it the woods of doom? He asked Sally as he stretched lazily in the warm sunshine. Who knows? She replied with a shrug. I asked my mother once, but she said she did not know. Think it has to do with the goblins and other monsters, he asked. Do you believe in them? Asked Sally, somewhat surprised. Well, no, not really, asserted Stout doubtfully. But then you still have the name, the town guard and the gates that are locked every night. Yes, but no one ever seen any, unless you count the old towns, objected Sally. That's true, he replied, feeling somewhat relieved. After several moments of silence, he leapt his feet. Let's go have a look. At what? Asked Sally, looking up at him. Stout nodded impatiently towards the forest. Sally felt a shiver run down her spine. Could he really mean to go in the terrifying, forbidden woods of doom? And a new thought struck her. What fun it would be to go tell the other children they had dared to go into the woods of doom. None of the other children ever dreamed of doing something so bold. Yes, that, she agreed, but deep inside she felt a little nervous as they ran, laughing and shouting towards the frowning edge of the woods. At first he moved slowly among the first few trees, always keeping the edge of its forest at sight. As soon they were running and jumping, swinging from trees and chasing one another. And once they realised they must have been gone for hours. They stopped and looked at each other. Stout, do you remember which way is home? Asked Sally after a moment. It's that way, said Stout. But he standing on shore and looked around in such a way that would tell him he had not the faintest clue which way they should go. For you see, dear reader, no one from Fruitful Orchard had ever entered the woods, at least not in 100 years. All the things children were told about finding a way in the forest were not known by the oldest man in Fruitful Orchard. So they naturally did the worst thing you could do which, when you get lost, they decided to start walking based on their best guess, hope to find something that looked familiar. They turned and started walking at a right angle to the proper direction they should have gone. It soon got dark and he stopped and decided to light the fire. Doubt had his tinderbox and some flint and knew how to use them. "Oh, so," he said hopefully, "when my father and yours come looking for us, they find us fast if we light a fire." So Stout and Sally gathered a great mound of branches, and after several successful attempts, they got the fire going. "What a nice fire you make, Stout," said Sally, trying to cheer them both up. "If he only had the food, it would just be like a picnic." Stout grinned and dug into his pocket. "One for each of us," he said, pulling out two apples. "Always get hungry before meals." He munched on the apples quietly, and after 7 moments they heard a sound at the edge of the firelight. Stout and Sally looked out in the darkness faithfully. Two eyes were watching them. They soon joined by two more pairs of eyes. Stout stood up and drew a dagger. "What are you? What are they, Stout?" asked Sally. Stout could hear the fear in her voice. "I don't know," he replied. Their eyes began circling the fire, slowly at first and then faster. Stout caught a glimpse of the grey fur and a long bushy tail. "Staying in the fire," he said, told Sally. "They're wolves." Round and round the wolves went to trot. After a couple of moments, Stout saw the circle was getting smaller and smaller. "Put your back against mine," he shouted, "and grab a club or something. They're going to attack." He caught a glimpse of Sally's white face. She grimly gripped a heavy branch. Then the first wolf leapt to Stout's face. Stout saw the flaming eyes and gleaming fangs and felt the hot breath on his face as the white teeth sank into her arm. He threw up to protect himself. Then he rolled in the ground, snaring mass of fur and fury grappling with him. He stared fiercely and repeatedly, rewarded by feeling warm, sticky blood flow out to his hand and arm. Of the moment, packed with fierce action, there was a lull in the fighting. Wolf was no longer clinging to his arm. Someone was dragging him to his feet. Stout looked around. The wolf was standing a couple of feet from him, looking at Stout with his ears laid flat against his head. Wolf's side was stained with blood and Paul was growing under it. Sally had hold of him one hand and still clung to a club with the other. As they watched, the wolf turned and staggered to the edge to the firelight before claps on the ground. "Here come the others," cried Sally. And sure enough, a Stout turned to look. He saw the others too rushing in tooth bare, but suddenly a shriek rent the air around them. A wolf stopped, tucking their tails behind, legs ran away, howling with terror. The children cowered together, wondering what new fear lurked in the outer darkness. There was no sound for a moment, and then Stout and Sally heard a soft laugh behind them. "Aha, you two brave children, show those wolves." Turning, he saw a man who looked to be in his early 30s. He had closely cut dark black hair, dark eyes and a whirling smile, dressed in brown leather and carried a strong bow in his hands. The wolves of the woods doom were uncommonly large and fierce, but not many survived their attacks. "You have done well, young warrior, in killing one," he commented presently. You must fare, young Whedon, are brave beyond any I've seen in many years. You wield a club well. Your friend owes you his life." "Thank you," said Stout and Sally in unison. And Stout asked, "What scared off the wolf?" "I came and take the hunting cry at the dangerous of the great dragons. It is wit that scared him off." He moved closer and they saw his eyes searching the edge of the firelight. "What are you two children doing alone in this woods? A doom of night," he asked. Stout and Sally both felt a little uneasy, but he was being very nice to them. "We got lost," said Sally. "Two lost children," he said, pitying look on his face. "How terrible. Must be rather terrified to be alone The woods are doomed with a strange man at your fire too. He chuckled. But other come to him, tell me, are you any chance from fruitful orchard? Yes, answered Stout. Well, well, he said cheerfully. I was plenty there myself. When knowing what they locked the gates at night, I had thought I would have to spend the night in the woods. Paused as if thinking, if you took to the gates, would they perhaps let us in? He asked. Oh, yes, said Sally joyfully. Father is the captain of the guard. Well then, said the man, beckoning to them, take you safely to town. Take you safely to town. His eyes glinted suddenly in the light of the fire. At that instant, a blazing white figure leapt from behind a tree and stood before the children, facing the young man. The figure was so bright that it hurt the children's eyes to look at it, yet her eyes were drawn to it. One hand was a long gleaming sword, never stretched out as if to shield the children. You shall not have them, said a deep, strong voice. Be gone, Levian. The young man's face vaulted into a look of inscribable hatred and fear, began to splutter and fume, but no intelligent words could be formed. After a moment, he had regained some control of himself and began to chant words in a language he was suddenly no Stout could understand. A great cloud of smoke gathered around him from out of nowhere and slowly changed into a great, black, fearsome dragon. It shrieked and beat its wings together, but did not attack. And when the blazing figure spoke in a commanding tone, be gone, Lefonian, your hour is not yet come. You must roam the earth till the hour appointed for you. When that arrives, we shall battle to the death, but the hour is not yet go. Dragon hissed and spreading wings spread away. Just as suddenly, a blazing white light disappeared. He saw an old bearded man, grey cloak, leaning on a tall staff. He turned and looked at each of them for a long moment. It was a deep, knowing look. Sally was the first to break the silence. What are you going to do to us? She asked timidly. You've just been listening to part of chapter one. Of the words and wit of the war, Wizards and Warriors by Samuel Bowman. Copyright 2023 Samuel Bowman. All rights reserved. ISBN 979/8/9880/0189/0/2. Check it out on Amazon. It's worth buying and I highly recommend it. Thank you for listening. Read by Mark Anthony Raines.